This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
No guttural yell, but a guttural fart this morning for your San Diego Padres. It's all right, 3-3 road trip. That's what we asked for. You hate to go back on what you said. Yeah, you hate to say everything's changed, but it does, because you're a human being. Welcome in, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you on a Thursday, August 20th. Padres dropped the series to the Mets, and they will limp home with a 500 road trip. We will talk about that game. We will talk about everything else that went on in baseball. Not a great day for San Diego sports, I could say, yesterday at all. We had our good weekend last weekend, and that's what you get, and you know that. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel is our executive producer here on National Radio Day. Happy National Radio Day, Paulie.
Hey, how are you? Happy National Radio Day to you.
And, of course, Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and news anchor tomorrow on Channel 10 ABC.
And tonight now.
And tonight now
and
as well.
Tomorrow you can catch me on. But if it's Radio Day, let's celebrate.
Yeah, National Radio Day.
It's nice to have a day celebrating us.
Yeah, I agree.
What we do.
There's not enough days that that celebrate.
Our daily grind of getting up early to talk nonsense for 4 hours for everybody in San Diego.
Yeah, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do that every day. I was driving the other day and I had that feeling of gratitude that you're like, I can't believe I've done this for this long, and oh my God, I can't believe my life turned out this way, and I'm so lucky to have fallen in this river, like this river that has just taken me down this road for almost 16 years, which is so stupid to think about. I have no business being in front of this microphone today, but I'm glad that I am, and of course, thank you to the Tier Ones for making this show everything that it could be and more. It's crazy. I've had so many good memories and times in this business and gotten to do obviously a lot of cool stuff that not a lot of people have gotten to do. So that's cool. Talk to some interesting people over the years. but I met my wife in a radio studio. You know, my wife and mother of my children met her in a radio studio, and so that's a pretty big deal, right? Like, changed the entire course of my life. Everything about this job has changed the entire course of my life. So I'm very grateful to this industry, to this microphone, and to you guys, of course, for making the last 8 years the best of my radio career.
I feel the same way. I get to meet a lot of cool people. We got another roundtable today. Hey, I got to meet Tony Gwynn Jr.
That's
through
true.
Radio. He's going to be our special guest on our Epic Wings roundtable today, back from New York. But it's been fun getting to work with you guys for now 8 years, and really my favorite job I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yeah. It's not easily. Close.
It doesn't feel like a job. Not once has this really felt like work.
Selling art out of the back of my
pretty good
Subaru Impreza or whatever it was, that was pretty fun. Driving to Shreveport and to sell there, having my car break down on the side of the road, having my dad have to come out. It was fun. It was really fun and very cool. Made a lot of money doing it.
I remember donating plasma in college just to make a few bucks.
I remember being so hungry that I wouldn't say flatmates, but like, they would like leave their door open. I would walk in and nose around in their pantry in college, right? Being a bartender was pretty fun. That was a fun gig. But it's not sustainable. It was not sustainable for me, my lifestyle.
You took advantage of too many perks of the job.
I mean, literally in some cases. But it was just too much. But that was a fun gig. But it also it wore you down to the nub, you know, after a while. You can only do that for so long and had to hang it up there, but no, this has been great, man. So thank you guys for being here. We will celebrate radio every day. It is still the best, most effective way to connect with a local audience that there is. No offense to your beloved television, no offense to podcasters, no offense to anything else, but nothing comes close to the connection that you get through these airwaves. Nothing.
It's
I've
true.
I've seen it. It's magical.
I've experienced it.
It can be magical when done right. And I've just always loved that about this. Always.
Yeah, there's different things about television that I absolutely love doing, but you don't form the connection with your audience anywhere close to how you do in radio.
No, it's not even close.
When I saw that it was National Radio Day, I'm trying to think of like what's like my favorite moment in radio or anything like that. And I think the favorite moment actually didn't happen in a radio studio. It didn't happen with a microphone, but it was the opening day Korea game when we had a packed out, like, could not find parking at 2 a.m. at Seven Mile Casino to watch that game, and it was all our tier ones.
It was crazy.
And I'm not suggesting that, like, a podcast couldn't arrange that. You know, hey, guys, everybody out there listening, we're all meeting up on set. Of course they could. It doesn't really happen, though, with local radio very often.
Right.
Not a lot of morning shows are going to be like, hey, we're going to meet up at 2:30, and hopefully you guys can all make it. And this place was packed. That was one of the – I will never forget that moment. That was so cool.
Such a feeling.
So we got rooms at the Rambler.
Yep.
And we were like, okay, we'll sleep for like 3 or 4 hours and then get up and walk over. And I remember getting up and hearing like commotion outside going, what's going on? And there were like – streams of people walking down the sidewalk
in at the hotel.
Yeah, from behind the motel, because like, they parked further away. Yes. I'm going, what is going on here? Is there like another event?
The motel is like what, half a block from the casino, and we said, I remember us saying like, let's meet up, call it 2 a.m. The three of us, we'll be there by 2. So it was like 1:45. I had slept for like an hour and a half or whatever. I was driving because I had some equipment. I was like, even though it's a short drive, I was like, I'll just get closer. And when I realized, oh, I would have been much better off just keeping my car parked and walking, because you can't park anywhere on this entire street.
They got turned away. Yeah. It was one of a million cool moments that we've gotten to experience. I mean, I've been part of births, been part of deaths, been part of a lot. So I'm just really grateful. I love this medium. It makes me very happy.
For me, you don't always know the moment is so special as it's happening, like with yours, Paulie. But I think back to the day that Manny Machado signed with the Padres.
Incredible.
And we were at the old station, and you've heard the clip many times, you know, of the news coming over, the Jeff Passan bomb. But then we stayed on the air for, you know, an extra, hour and a half plus, and everyone, it seemed like, was tuning in, and it felt like, especially in retrospect, a moment where everything changed.
Yeah, powerful.
And now that we are here in the year 2026 and looking back, how everything did change at that moment. Like for San Diego, we were a town, it wasn't good. You know, the Chargers were gone. I wasn't sure that like sports radio was going to survive in San Diego. And then Manny Machado arrived, and the excitement that started to build for the Padres and people who have joined our community since then, it just was such an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was. It was incredible. There's been too many to count. I mean, both of my kids were born, essentially on the radio. They've grown up on the radio.
I got married within this show.
That's right.
Basically on the radio.
Just incredible.
Yeah. A lot of life has happened in 8 years.
Lots of life. We went last night, speaking of my kids, to back to school night. You remember that, Benny?
Of course.
You go down. You go down at like 5 p.m. Now we've got two kids in the same school.
It's early back to school night. Sometimes they wait.
Is it?
Sometimes they wait a couple of weeks so the kids can get some projects.
Oh, early in the time.
Early in the school year.
Is it back to school night and open house night kind of the same?
No, yeah, they're different.
I'm thinking of open house night.
So, yeah, open house is down the road.
Okay.
Back to school night is, we've given it a week and a half. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to, thanks for letting us get our, you know, get your kids in, get them settled. Here are some issues that have been raised. We're going to get this worked on. We hear you on this. This is an update on where we're going to be. But yeah, you go in, you sit down, and you get the spiel from the principal for like 30 minutes. And then you go to your individual kids' class. And we have two kids there. So we got to do two presentations. Now, the worst part about it is you walk into the class, and they don't have full-size chairs for you to sit in.
Right.
They have your kids' little tiny chairs. So you're sitting in your little, with your knees up, and I'm shifting in my seat. Because you know me, I don't sit still anyway, so I'm shifting in my seat.
That's one you don't think about when you're a kid.
No,
when your parents are coming to visit your school. Everything is built for
you,
little humans.
And so we're sitting at Taylor's desk, and I'm like, I cannot get... and my knees are literally up to my chin. I go, I just cannot get comfortable. So finally, we had had, we went to dinner before, and we ate at a favorite place of ours. And both of us kind of were feeling queasy after. Wasn't great. And now I'm concerned that I'm not going to be able to go back. Because I ate my favorite thing at like my favorite place, and it didn't hit.
Now I know we won't name the place, but I know you've had many, many good meals at that restaurant, right?
All of them to that point. Maybe it was, and this is what I'm working through in my head. Maybe it was the tiny chair, a lot of people packed into a room. That feeling also of like being back in school. You know True. What I mean? Like yeah. all of this, maybe. But Hannah said that she
the
wasn't.
The smell of school can make you a little
sick. The smell
nauseous.
Of school can make yeah. you a little sick. Hmm. But I was sitting there going, this is not good, man. And I also, Hannah, you know, she gets mad at me because I don't just sit and I'm just unfocused. I'm just an unfocused person. And I have ADD and I just get antsy. So at one point, I just stood up. I just had to go stand in the back of the room because I was. I also had to fart, and I wasn't going to, so I would hold that in because of that meal. Whatever yeah. that meal was, it got me, and so I was like, "This sucks,
stuffy dude. Classroom."
Yes,
with,
and I just
filled with adults. You didn't want to.
And I like all the kids in the class, but and the parents are all great. But I was just not feeling my best, and I just got bummed about the restaurant because it's such a good place, and I'm going to have to give them another shot, but. Then I laid there last night when we got home, choking down like vomit, laying in bed going, just don't throw up, dude. Just go to sleep. You'll sleep it off. Still feel a little queasy yeah, when I think about it.
It's tough because everybody deserves a bad night. A pitcher who's, 10-1, is going to win the Cy Young Award, but they could have one night where they're just off, and it doesn't mean they're any less of a pitcher. And a restaurant can be the same way. Like, you go and have really 5-6 really good meals, and then mm-hmm. one time you go and it's just off and you don't love it. But it clouds you going forward.
Yeah,
that is tough.
100%.
It's in my head, and now I kind of still taste what I ate. I could make myself vomit right now on the air if you wanted to. I could literally work myself into a tizzy where I would vomit.
You've done that before, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't meant to, really, but I could get there is what I'm telling you right now. If you really wanted me to, I could get there.
That changes things for me then.
It does.
Because you said something just a minute ago that I wanted to bring up because it reminded me of a headline that I saw this morning in our beloved prep service. But I'm nervous now that you might vomit if we continue with this segment.
As long as it's not about what I ate last night.
It's not about what you ate.
Okay.
It is about back to school, though.
Mm-hmm.
The headline, I'll just tell you the headline that I clicked the link on because it said, a teacher has a fart corner in her classroom. And I go, I'm interested in
all.
Learning more about that. You said it smelled a little bit in that.
No, I had to. I had to fart. And so I was just
night.
Holding it in. So I was uncomfortable. It was hot. And then my knees were up to my chest, which is an excellent fart position. And so I was just going, I don't want to do this. Like I need to walk away. I need to get out of here.
When you have babies, you actually push their legs around.
Oh, yeah. You fart them.
Out.
It's the best, dude.
Like a wheelbarrow. It's part of the job.
When their belly hurts, yeah.
As a parent, you actually
buddy, you good? You want me to fart you? Yes. All right. You're good.
Well, this teacher.
Kids, that's why you get so mad when they have no gratitude for you. You're like, I farted you.
You know what I did?
I sucked snot out of your nose with a nose, Frida. You owe me everything. You owe me everything. You're going to bitch about what you got for dinner? I used to have to fart you like 4 times a day. You vomited in my mouth. Like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, this teacher.
Fart corner.
She's an elementary school teacher in Houston.
Okay.
And it said
y'all go over to the fart corner.
She said she posted this video of a similar, like, here's how the classroom works to her children. And it said a TikTok that got millions and millions of views. She's showing off the fart corner. And I said, okay, well, now I need to know. So here's the video that she posted explaining what the fart corner is and how it works.
This is our... This is our fart corner. If you need to fart, simply come over here, fart, take about 10 seconds, get your little spray going on, go sit down. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. Nobody was worried about it.
Are you? Oh, so my Lord.
Her point is everybody farts.
Everybody farts.
And yes, farts can be funny, but everyone, it doesn't have to be funny. Everyone does it. If you have to, just go in the fart corner. Everyone's going to know what you're doing, but because we're normalizing it, it's not going to be a problem.
I think it's pretty genius, actually.
Obviously, when this got a bunch of views, people started commenting. Of course, you're going to have everybody from, I love this idea, to, what the hell is going on at this school? People are like, why can't they just go to the bathroom?
Over there again. Kids will always notice everything.
Kids will.
They will count. They will turn it into a thing.
But if you, let's be honest, there's no kid or adult that's going into the bathroom to fart. There's just not. No kid is at 10 years old or 8 years old.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Now, people were like saying, like, yeah, why wouldn't you just tell the kids they can go to the bathroom? She wrote a follow-up. She's like, of course they can go to the bathroom. They don't even have to ask.
You don't have to go to the fart corner. You can go to the fart corner.
If you don't want to go to the bathroom, if you don't care if anybody knows that you're going to the fart corner, go for it. But if you also have to just get up and go to the restroom, she's allowing them to do that as well.
I do agree with Frank here. He says everyone cares. Everyone is paying attention. There's no way you could just get up, sidle on over to the fart corner, and then they hear the spray, and then you're like, and I mean,
the Lysol or whatever.
Kids are gonna die. You're gonna be, and you're right. They'll be like, you guys, Ben went to the fart corner 6 times, and then you're fart Ben for the rat farty Ben.
Can you imagine if we're just sitting here, like, in the radio, we had a fart corner, it's like, all right, let's get ready for Don't Do This.
I'll be back.
Like, I'll be right back.
Oh, Polly's over in the corner.
God, yeah. Dominic says it's like a It's like a smoking area in a restaurant. You can still smell the smoke.
All right, sorry about that, guys. I'm back.
I just think, yeah, I mean, the alternative is go to the bathroom, which
they're allowed to do. They can fart in their seats if they want.
Yeah, so fart in your seats.
You're not going to get in trouble.
I like that idea, though.
She wanted to make it less embarrassing.
Yeah,
she wanted to give them the space, and it sounded like they kind of enjoyed it.
I think that they're probably having the time of their lives with this thing. I just think it's funny, man.
This is our
fart corner.
This is our
that's our favorite part.
If you need to fart
corner,
simply come over here, fart, take about 10 seconds. Get you a little spray going on. Yep. Go sit down. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. Nobody's worried about it.
That's incredible. She's a forward-thinking teacher. I think that's really great. It's a challenge, man. I looked up last night, and I just felt great appreciation and sympathy also. So we're in the kinder room, and we're sitting on the tiny chairs, and there's a lot. He's got a lot of kids in class. Now, they have two teachers. And this was the first year they said, oh, if you have children, you need to bring them, because not everybody's going to get a sitter for an hour. Bring them to the school. They just can't come in the classroom. So we're sitting in there. They're in, what do they call it? They call it a cottage. It's a trailer. So it's nice. Let's fancy it up. It's our cottage. It's a casita.
We call them portables.
Yeah, yeah. This is a cottage. And so there's a ramp up to that cottage. So the teacher's up there doing her spiel. And all you hear is this outside. And you'd look over, and there's 9 little heads banging on the glass in the middle of the thing. And I'm looking around the other parents, because Taylor wasn't there, so it wasn't mine. So it stops for a second, and then they're like, hey, mom, dad!
Oh, my God.
It's my classroom! Finally, one of the teachers went, get down, man. And I just thought to myself, they have to do this every day, all day. That's their whole life, is dealing with these lunatics, man. It was so, so good. But we got great ones, so we were really happy. The other thing I found, both teachers were like, essentially, I'll sum it up for you in how I would say it. All right, playtime's over. No more effing around. We're going to get after this. This is their career now. I left the meeting, and I got home to Bo. I go, hey, summer's over, dude. Like, you're reading 45 minutes a night. We're multiplication tables. We are grinding on this thing. Hannah's like, calm down. I'm like, were you in that meeting? Did you hear what she said? Like, we're not easing into the school year at all. We are ripping it right off. So here we go. It's on now.
How'd you do with the other parents? Did
Great.
You meet anybody nice?
No,
make some friends?
I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them, which is great. Bo's got really good friends in his class, best friends. And then Taylor's made a new friend, Cole. And so they're like thick as thieves. And he told me, he goes, I go, does Cole like baseball? He goes, oh, yeah, he loves baseball. I go, what team is he like? He goes, he likes the Astros. He likes the Cubs. He likes the Giants. He likes the Padres. He likes the Rangers. And I go, oh, like he likes all of those teams. He goes, oh, yeah, he's a big fan of all of those. I go, I don't think Cole knows what he's talking about. But that's all right. He's going to hone it in to the one that really he likes.
Keeping his options open.
Yeah, he's keeping his options
one
open.
One of those teams should make the playoffs.
But they're like, they're like, already super tight, and it's great. It was great, and yeah, it was packed. I mean, it was packed with parents last night, which is great. You want the to be involved, but it was an experience. It always is. All
right. We have a 3-hour show today, so maybe we ought to start going, because I know Paulie's got some great audio for us on Throwback Thursday. We will set the menu for what we've got coming up. It will start with, unfortunately, a Padres crap up of a 4-2 loss to the New York Mets yesterday. Had a chance at the end, had some chances in the beginning. Were unable to really get to old friend Bob Stock on the mound yesterday, and that's a disappointing way to end what had otherwise been a pretty good last couple of weeks for the San Diego Padres. So we will discuss it all coming up, getting things started, going until 9 o'clock, then heading over for our Epic Wings, Epic Padres Roundtable. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's on National Radio Day. Yeah. Broadcasting live from our Bill House studios, we know how, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
Well, we just talked about 7 Mile Casino as one of our... part of one of our favorite radio moments of all time, being able to meet and hang out with so many of the tier ones, watching them enjoy the food, the ambiance, the televisions, and the California style blackjack, the Texas Hold'em, the Pie Gow, and the Baccarat at 2 a.m. was outstanding.
So, and that is not something like was one off. You could go at 2 a.m. today and order the Kung Pao chicken from the 24/7 players menu, as many people did that night. The only thing that is different is you shouldn't have as nearly as many parking issues if you go at 2 a.m.
Correct.
On a normal night as you did the night that we went and watched the game. But otherwise, you're going to find a fantastic experience where they love taking care of their players, making you comfortable with great dealers, great chairs, just a great environment for your California-style blackjack. Pie Gow, got Texas Hold'em, and of course, Baccarat at 7 Mile Casino.
Check it out for yourself, just 7 minutes from downtown.
It's true. Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. I meant to ask you, Woods, if you made good use of the $60 you took from me yesterday. When I last saw you, you were leaving the building, eagerly heading toward an elderly woman's house to once again pilfer through her baseball card collection. You'd already done this once.
Yeah, I did it last weekend.
Came through with binders of new material.
I believe it called it a fantasy to
it was.
Take advantage of an elderly person who did not know
what she had.
What they had.
Hands,
yeah.
That being said, she did know what she had.
She was a little more savvy than
I thought,
realized,
yep. Which is fine. And but sometimes the fleecer becomes the fleeced.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you why.
Oh, no.
So went yesterday with my 60, and there were about 8 binders, I thought, left for sale. So I pay her, and I start loading the binders. And I'm looking, and I'm like, all right, I've gone through some of these. Like, all right, but still, this is going to be fun, right? And it was. So I wrap up. She says, oh, I've got more. If you want them. And I go, why are you doing? Like, yeah. She's like, you know, first one's 25. Next one's 60. I'm like, all right, okay, if I'm here. She goes, I was just going to list them all, you know, separate. And I go, well, I'll just take them because I don't want to come out here again in 4 days. She's moving on Wednesday. So she's running out of time. And I go, what else do you have? And so we go back to that bathroom, and on the bottom shelf, tucked way back, are more binders, a lot more binders. And I go, how much do you want for these? And she goes, make me an offer. Which is like the worst thing. So I said, you want to do
another? You don't actually know what's in any of them?
No idea.
So how do you make an offer on that?
Well, there's like 10 binders.
Yeah.
So I was like, you want to do another 60? And she goes, sure. I go, all right, well, I got to run to the ATM. So I would have had to go to the ATM anyway.
Anyway.
So I go down to the ATM, get out another 60. It really brought back eerie feelings of my youth. It really did.
Pulling out cash.
My stomach's kind of bubbling. I'm hurrying. I just want to get home. Like, it was very, very traumatic. So I
there
go.
There it was.
Yeah.
Glory hole.
Yes. Running back and forth to the glory hole, Paulie. That's exactly what I meant. So go back to her house. Give her the 60. Load up the binders. So get them home. And I brought them in like three at a time and would work through it to see if there were any gems in there. And I would look up this set. These are the cards to look for, just like I did last time. Keep it moving because I had a lot of cards to go through. I would flip to, oh, that's a nice one, 584. Flip, 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 gone.
584 is missing.
Mm. Yeah, pretty much, all, not all, but pretty much the really valuable cards from each baseball binder were pulled.
Now, someone had done the exact same thing.
Correct. Her.
Before.
Her.
And pulled
yeah.
the cards.
Going she through them like, oh, yep. Barry Bonds. I'll
yeah, yeah. Well,
Ken
and
Griffey
so.
Jr., I'll take that.
No, there's more Griffeys than I knew how to shake a stick at, dude. So I go, so I'm sitting, and I'm not mad. Then I got to the basketball, though, and I found some basketball cards that are through the roof. If I get them graded one day and they come back good, but they are in immaculate shape. So, yes, this will all pay off months, maybe even years down the road, but there were some...
You weren't really going to go down the basketball card road.
I really wasn't.
Thought,
I'll go down the Michael Jordan road, though.
Did you find a Jordan?
I found like 15 Jordans, wow. Like really cool ones. But again, if graded well, they're going to make a lot of money. So that's great. His market kind of goes through the roof still. But like if I was going to sell anything, I'd have a hard time making 120 back selling any of those cards raw. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think I could get it. But
it's crazy how it works.
But it's crazy how it works.
Literally, like you and I were texting about them yesterday. I'm like, so many of those cards, you can go online and find them. Yeah, ungraded or anything for like
$2
to $3.
Yeah. But graded, it's over $1,000.
Right.
Right? Like it's going to cost me a little bit more. My wife is probably vomiting in her hand right now listening to this. But sorry, this is the life you chose, for better or for worse. And but she, I'll say this, she got me. She got me good. Savor the flavor, because it's not going to happen again, mostly because you're out of baseball cards. So that's the only reason it won't happen again. But she did get me.
Speaking of cards, I did see that Topps has already created a card of Fernando Tatis Jr.'s Grand Slam robbery
from
Tuesday night at Citi Field. You actually have one?
I bought one.
Wow. So it's not a one of one. They're making this available to a lot of people. How much did you pay for it?
They're like $6.
They're $9 each.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in theory, like yes, they can send you a base card, just a regular one, or you could get a one of one,
totally.
Or one of 10, or one of 25, or whatever. But I just wanted the card because that's going to look really cool.
It'll look really cool.
Very fun moment. All right, so
it's about the only fun moment from our trip to New York.
Yeah, the game was over yesterday, and figured, well, you know what, I'm actually going to look forward to the SDFC game last night.
Yeah,
and so 7:30 is late.
Clear my palate a little bit.
I'm home at that point, and I flip it on, thinking, all right, here comes something. You can really tell the difference. And again, we're still soccer newbies. We've been learning from Darren Smith and Craig Elston and others here in our second season of MLS play. But it was so apparent to see the difference with no Anders Dreyer on the field yesterday. Now, they still kind of pass the ball around like they used to, but then when they get it down onto the offensive end of the field and try to score, there just was nothing happening without Anders there to make it happen. And
they had all the possession in the first half.
Yeah, they had the possession.
79% possession. They could not do anything with it.
But no real chances until they did get the one, the first half.
They had a couple looks, but it was like every look was just kicked kind of weakly right into the goalie's arms. So just shot on goal, and the guy's like, hey, thank you. I mean, this is like a can of corn.
Yeah, they clearly missed Anders Dreyer, who was serving his red card suspension for yesterday. Portland, meanwhile, Some really great goals. Two really long ones. Another one in the second half. The go-ahead goal was a nice feed. They ended up going on to the 3-1 win last night, just kind of completing, as you said, Woods, fairly dismal sports day for us in San Diego yesterday. Hopefully,
good news
better
is,
days are ahead.
Good news is we're used to it.
We are used to it.
And it's scabbed over.
Padres will return tomorrow to take on the Minnesota Twins. SDFC's home on Saturday night. For their next match as well as they come back to Snapdragon Stadium. Who are they taking on Saturday? I believe it is Colorado is coming, the Rapids to SDFC. So here's what we got coming up for you on the program today, setting the menu for Ben and Woods. Get to our Padres crap-up, our discussion of the 4-2 loss to the Mets in just a moment. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to take you back on Throwback Thursday. Paulie's got some clips from the last 8 years of Ben and Woods, 7 or 8 years of some of our favorite stuff from this week in our show history. So we'll do that at 7. 7:25 is Don't Do This. We can talk about the Pete Alonso controversy from last night, where he had what looked to everybody in attendance to be a home run ball called foul. And then they reviewed it, and it was still foul. So we will talk about that and more. And then in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll have some Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. And then Eno Saris from The Athletic will join us at 8:40 for some smart baseball on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking. It's better. All leading up to the Padres Epic Wings Roundtable at 9. Sounds good?
Sounds great to
me. Let's check traffic, and then we will get into yesterday's game, our crap-up of the 4-2 loss to the Mets, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
How did things play out in yesterday's game?
Supremely stupid.
It's time for the Padres Crap Up with Ben and Woods. Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey, player, here's something to cheer you up. The rooftop pool's open, day passes are available, and the spa is calling your name. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
This game has got to come to an end. Run.
Ben swings and hits it in the air up the left field line. Grandjifo over, and this one gone! Oh, my! Right in front of the foul pole. First row, just fair. No idea how it was fair, but it was. And a two-run homer will give the Mets a 2-0 lead here in the fourth. 0-1 pitch, he swings away, and hits a little number. That's a fair ball in front of the plate. Throw to second is in time, and Bogaerts throw to first, a double play. Lindor never left home plate until it was way too late. He thought it was a foul ball. It was not. And just like that, two down, nobody on. Tatis swings, hits it out towards left center field. Ewing on the run. He's not going to get there. It's over his head. One hops up against the wall. Bogaerts will score. Fernando into second base. An RBI double. And a 2-1 game here in the fifth. One coming. Line the other way into right field. That's a base hit. Charged by Tatis. Alvarez being waved. Here's the throw to the plate. The tag by Camposano. He's out at home. Alvarez tried to slide around the tag. And Campy got him. Anything you can do, I can do better. And Tatis throws out Alvarez at home to end the inning.
Estrada delivers, and a ground ball to shortstop. Song has it. Long throw to second. Oh, it gets away. Goes into right field. Ewing has scored. Lindor going to be held at third. Bichette ends up at second base. It's now 3-1. And instead of two outs, the Padres get none. And Young hits a rocket up the middle into center and a base hit. Bichette trots home from third. Ben's going to go first to third. RBI single for Jared Young. And now 4-1 in the eighth. Sheet swings, rips it on a line into right field. That's down and a base hit. Grandjifo rounding third. He's going to score. Ben's throw will go to third. Not in time. Pinch hit, RBI single, Gavin Sheets. And a two-run game here in the ninth. Here's the 1-1. Hayes hits it on the ground, up the middle. It'll be right by the bag at second. Simeon hits the base, throws to first, and a double play to end the game. Ground ball right to Simeon, right at the bag. And with that, the Mets will take this series. Road trip comes to an end with the Mets winning this one 4-2 as the Padres go 3-3 through Cleveland and New York.
Pride ourselves in trying to win as many series as we can. You go on the road to a team that's playing good, lose a series, a couple of tight games that just didn't go our way, and you know, we got to go home and get back at it. You know, and the good thing is we love playing at home and we're pretty good at home, so looking forward to this home, Sam.
You've gotten, I think, 4 quality starts in a row, 5 and 6 and 9 this month. You weren't getting that for most of the season. What does that do for just the group, the pitching staff in general, and what can it do in terms of like keeping guys in the bullpen fresh?
Like? Yeah, you're right. I think leading up to that, the bullpen was getting used quite a bit, and now they've been given a little bit of a breather here with a couple off days and the starters going deep in games. We love how the starting staff is going right now. I think they've taken to it, that they can be a big part of us winning. They have been a big part of us winning a lot of games here lately, and we'll need more of that, as the season ends, and to keep our bullpen fresh when we really need them.
Yeah, first drop series for the Padres since July 23rd, when they lost 3 of 4 at the Atlanta Braves in the second series of the second half of the season. After that, they won 7 and split 1 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, we knew it would eventually happen. Brian Lawrence told us it would happen. Craig Stammen told us it would happen. They were not going to just win constantly the last 40 to 50 games of the season.
Sure.
There's going to be some setbacks, some stuff to overcome. I think what was surprising to me, though, Woods, is both of the losses in this series to the Mets, I felt confident they were going to come back and win both times. Monday I did, and yesterday after they responded to the 2-run home run by Carson Benge, which I felt like Jesse did. When Carson Benge took that swing, I had,
oops.
You watch enough baseball. You see swings and you go,
oh boy.
Ooh, that one looks like it's good. Sometimes they die in the warning track. Sometimes they don't. But you almost always have a feeling before it's gone like, ooh, I need to pay attention to this one. That one, I didn't even look up, basically. I saw the swing and
I thought it was foul ball.
I thought it was a foul ball. I thought it was probably about 300 feet, somewhere. If it was, maybe someone was going to catch it. Maybe it was going to fall in foul territory. No thought in my mind that was a home run.
None whatsoever.
When it went off the bat of Carson Benge.
But it was.
But
it was indeed.
356 feet opposite field. And it came, frustratingly, when Michael King looked as good as he has looked pretty much all season.
Yeah.
Retired the first 9 guys. He made Bo Bichette look so silly in the first inning with the swing, with that movement, riding inside to the right-handed batter. I'm going, all right, this is it. We finally have got Michael King, and he ended up throwing a quality start. Went 6 innings, gave up more than 6 innings, gave up just 4 hits and 2 runs. A really good start for Michael King, what we've been waiting for. And the Padres did not turn it into a victory, which has been a problem all season long. They had the stat on the broadcast. Michael King is getting less run support than any other starter in baseball, and it's not even that close, quite frankly.
Feels like that way for sure.
Probably a little bit lucky that he's 8-9 at this point, because he is really getting no offense from the San Diego Padres this season.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a game of ups and downs, and Manny can get 3 knocks, including a homer the night before, and then the next day can come out and look like he didn't play baseball ever, and Jackson Merrill can be as white hot as anybody on the planet, come out, strike out 5-6 consecutive times in a row, or consecutive is in a row, 6 consecutive times, I think, just looking, again, lost. It's just, it's a game of adjustment. He's going to have to make an adjustment. Manny's going to have to make an adjustment. The double play balls are brutal. They're just brutal.
You want him to make hard contact. When he hits a hard ground ball at someone,
make hard contact in the air.
Yeah.
That's really the
inevitable outcome.
Right.
Is
I'd rather
going
punch,
to be
obviously.
A ground ball double play.
Yeah. At that level.
Yeah. Punch.
For Bo and his team, make hard contact on the ground. Hit it hard and see what happens. For this level,
if you're not lifting it,
you're toast. You're just toast. And so, you're starting to see that. So again, adjustments need to be made, certainly. And you can't strand leadoff doubles. You just can't. In a close game, it just can't happen.
Ty
at that
France
level.
In the top of the 6th did not move him at all.
It just really unproductive AB from Jackson with a punch out. There's times when a punch out's okay. I wouldn't have minded if Austin Hayes would have punched out instead of hitting into double play in the 9th, right? But it just didn't happen. Didn't happen yesterday at all. I'm not going to come in here and flip out and say that you should let Sung Moon Song hit in that scenario, Craig. Obviously thought Austin Hayes and said it. He's a better hitter than Sung Moon Song, and I don't think there's any question that that's the case based on a track record.
I don't disagree.
But if Song strikes out, Fernando comes up.
That's the one thing, is you really want to see Fernando Tatis Jr. get up in that situation.
Yes, yes.
And I'm never saying go up there and strike out, but you can't
hit into a double play.
You can't hit into a double play
Who was on first? Who's on first in the? What's on second?
I believe, unless they pinch ran for him.
I don't know.
But he's the one who had the RBI single, so he would have been on first. I don't remember if they sent in Jace Bowen to pinch run for him, but he was the one who got the hit. It was Renjifo singled, Campy walked, and then Sheets singled to drive in the run and make it 4-2. And then the next batter was Austin Hayes pinch hitting for Sungmun Song. Sheets had pinch hit
got the bleeder, that's right,
to right field that fell in that drove in the first run. And then they brought in Austin Hayes, which was, you know, righty versus righty as opposed to lefty versus righty. I was a little surprised. Again, not that I felt any confidence in Sungmun Song in that situation. It was more like, yes, but you are putting Austin Hayes in a dicey position here. He's noted for hitting lefties.
Yep.
You're putting him in against a righty, and there's a runner at first base where he could hit into a double play, which is exactly what happened in that situation.
Yeah, he hits lefties at a 350 clip. He hits righties at a 179.
Yeah, Tyler says Bowen had already been in the game, so Sheets was running for himself.
Sheets running for himself.
Which means you can't really send him. He's not fast enough to steal.
Yeah, and so, if you get a swing and a miss, you know, I don't know.
You've hung him out to dry out
Sheets
at second
base. Sheets
was
hitting for Bowen.
Oh, that's right. Which was smart. I mean, get the lefty in there, got the hit. I mean, that was correct managing at that point. You needed base runners. You need to get the tying run.
Well, I mean, you got Austin Hayes
on base.
You got Austin Hayes for a reason. I think it's to hit left-handers. But again,
wasn't a left-hander.
For whatever reason, he decided that he'd rather have righty-righty than righty-lefty, and you know, he pushed that button, and it didn't work, and Austin Hayes wraps into a another double play and ends the game. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Part of the reason, of course, Stammen was in that situation was because Xander Bogaerts had to leave the game with an apparent leg injury after the seventh inning. That's why Sungmun Song had moved over from third, where he had started for Manny on a DH day, and moved over to shortstop, which led to a lot of scrambling and pinch hitting and a lot of different things that you wouldn't have had to do. I think you would have let Xander hit in that situation. And then, you know, if it gets a hit, that's great. And then you've got Sheets to pinch hit in the nine hole. And then you can get Sheets up there. And then you get Fernando Tatis going. But because of Xander's injury, Padres were left shorthanded on the bench a little bit at the end of the game.
To hammy?
That's what Jesse was saying, that it looked like they took a swing and reached for his hammy a little bit and ended up coming out of the game between innings.
Here's post-game audio.
He's fine. I think he just had a cramp. He's just being precautious with it. And a hot day like today, humid, long travel. Felt like it was the right time to get him out of the game.
Hamstring cramp unrelated to the hit-by-pitch.
Yeah, unrelated, yeah.
Not good. But, you know, unfortunately, also a tough night for Sungmun Song, who commits the error in the bottom of the eighth inning.
That was best day. It happens.
Provided some insurance for the New York Mets that turned out, you know, it's always that insurance you never need. They needed that insurance. Padres did score what would have been the tying run had they gotten out of that inning. And I think the decision was right to go for the double play. It's just the execution was poor.
Yep.
He got rid of it quickly. It was that tough situation. It's first and third, one out after the Lindor single. You don't want any runs to score because you're already down one. So, you know, two is much tougher job in the top of the ninth. So you could go home on that play and try to get the out at home, which would have been a tag play. Not an easy play, but it could have been possible. He was heading in that direction. Or you can go and gamble to try to end the inning with the double play, but he's heading the wrong direction and has to do that spin really
through.
Fast, hurried throw because he knows if he doesn't get the turn at first, they're going to score that
Correct.
Run at home. I mean, was it a bad decision or just bad execution?
It's
I'm
hard.
Not sure.
It's a very hard scenario to be in when the ball is hit your way. So I don't know. I don't like to go back on proclamations and declarations. I don't like to, and I'm not going to, because we all said at the beginning, 500 road trip. That's what you need right now. Go 500 on this road trip. Come back home. If you're 500, fine. Lick your proverbial wounds and get after it against Minnesota. That's all you can do. And I don't want to come in here and be like, you know, of course people made the case. Oh, we were a grand slam robbery away from getting swept. Okay, well, they were they were two guys thrown out at the plate in the same inning. If one ball bounced, you know what I mean? Like, that's not really how it works. I'll take how they played that game, certainly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't get out there and get crushed at all. They're in every game. They're fighting hard. I don't think you can deny that. The baseball is meaningful. I'm good. Like,
this
is kind of what we want.
Change anything for me for the rest of the season?
I don't think they're worse.
Yeah.
You know? I just think that it does go to show you, man, that the big dogs all have to hunt. They have to. Like, it's almost, you did have that one game where it was like the bottom of the order that mm-hmm. really came through, but all of this has been part of Jackson's resurgence, Toddy's resurgence. Manny has got to get it going a little bit more.
And, you know, it's not an excuse, but you see that a lot at the end of day game after a night game, yeah. at the end of road trips for the East Coast, that they don't play their best baseball. Hopefully, when they come back home, they can play like they've been playing. We'll talk about that. We'll get some Throwback Thursday clips from Paulie as we start our 7 a.m. hour next with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.